Don't worry about it.
Okay.
That means go to the end of what you see. Means you're going to cross, means you're going to go backwards.
Yeah.
So you basically get all three down. No, one went through example, because you're taking three. This is a position, this is how many to take. Yeah, so your K's come in the first character. See, this is normal one, so it says first character and only take two. So that's how we get K.
So turn it over to K.
I thought I'd made that.
It's easier straight up.
This would be K.
Yeah, this is the point one. Yeah.
And this would be.
And you go into the end of the table.
Which is C.
No, it's literally here, the end of the table, that's value, it's the space, that's what we're taking into that object. But it's not, it's the last value, that's the character.
So then it would be, put one again, it would be one of the P.
So
What?
She said, this is what should be. I said, I think so. Well, I'm rethinking this class too, so I'm not going to swear to anything.
I don't know. That probably does make you somewhat.
Unless you want to do it. Because I don't want to say, I'm going to do an algebra.
Yeah, so they concatenate it so there's no space.
So like everything would be in one place?
That one's like direct. See if it starts searching after the hashtag.
Okay, questions. Is everybody coming up with something for one?
And fall back three characters and searches from there. Think of each one. Okay.
What are you getting for one?
The building, the number.
What?
The building, the number.
What building, which letter?
Which letter?
It's only taking one character.
Oh, yeah. Could it be like K112?
So if you... Is anybody, has everybody got one done? Is anybody paying any attention to telling me where they got one done?
We can say the results of our group after that.
I'll be here in a minute. I'll look if I've got it up there. But I want to make sure everybody's struggled with it an appropriate amount of time. Then
Right.
Yeah.
What's
the remainder of a divide.
Oh, the remainder of a divide.
Questions? Okay, what did you come up with for number one?
Building in the number.
So what do you mean by building?
So like the K building and then 112.
And any space between them?
No.
No, because they're concatenated, right? So that's what you should have come up with for number one. Okay, select substring, and you're going to building. Okay, so you're going into building, and you are saying go to the first character and take one. So that is taking one character. And then you're concatenating it, which means they all go together. Go to office, back up three, and take three. Okay, so you're taking the last three characters. So back up three and take three. And so you're ending up with the building and the number. That's the answer that you should be getting. Okay. Okay. It doesn't want to capture that. Good.
Thank you.
What happens if that number was like a 3 or something?
Huh?
What happens if that number was like a 3 or something?
Well, it can't be because, I mean, the round is a waste.
Okay.
Okay, because a mod is the remainder, and the remainder is going to be a whole number. Okay. So the remainder is a whole number.
Yeah, oh, so basically, if it wasn't a whole number, and you had like a decimal there, and then that number was
that's
you
right.
Take those
if
spaces,
I had not
correct?
Done mod, but it does some other calculation, and
yeah.
I came up with the decimal,
then
round would say rounded to a whole number.
Okay. Like, would that be
okay,
space wise?
Zero decimal, round, comma, zero means no decimal.
Yes. Okay. So that zero will probably never change this for the second.
Well, no, I mean, if this one round was worthless, but if I had an answer that came up as 12.45, rounding it would have given me 12.
Yeah.
If I came up with 12.89, rounding it would have given me 13.
Right. So
okay.
I'm just confused, what does the zero actually mean?
The zero is to zero decimal places.
Okay.
If it
was right,
one,
so
you round
you
to
go.
One decimal place,
okay,
two rounds to two decimal places.
Right, that was my question.
And that was why that round was unnecessary because we would always have that whole number for the mod.
Right. But it still forced you to think about.
Yes. To think that part through.
Yes. Yeah.
How do we send an alias to like the plan?
How do you which what?
Like set an alias.
Assign an alias, you mean? Just write it before the comma. The name of the field, space, the alias, comma. Or you can throw in as, if you like it better, the name of the field, as, put in the alias, comma.
Should it be in quotes? Or?
No. It can be if it's more than one word. If the alias is more than one word,
mm-hmm.
then you should put it in quotes because the embedded space confuses it.
Right.
But if it's just one word, no. If it's multiple words, yes, quotes. Hmm. Okay, what happened with number two? What's the answer to number two? Has everybody got an answer to number two?
Yes.
What is it then?
It's just the numbers.
Huh?
It's just the numbers, three numbers.
Okay. So the answer is, as he said, just the numbers. And the reason is that I'm saying this is one field here. And I'm saying go into that field, then find the number sign. So in the string is finding the number sign. When you find the number sign, add one to it. So it's adding one to that spot, which means it's now it's the first character after the number sign. And then it's saying take three. Yeah. So it is taking the three to give it the number, right? Okay, looking at the third one. Has everybody got the third one? No? How are we doing on the third one? Got it? Still working on it? Okay, then I will stop for a few moments. Stop this in about 5-10 minutes and actually do something with multiple tables, but for a few minutes. But Hopefully this gives you a little better idea of how the functions work. What I did hear was, to start out with in looking at three, I went in, and this is a good way to experiment. I said, select mod equals 7 from donor. That's all I said, just to get that number that it would return, just to find out what number would be returned if I did a mod equals. And remember, mod is a divide. So if I divide 7 into the first one, come on, we can do this.
No, you can't write on the SQL board.
That's right. I can't write on that one. So if we write over here, 7 into 500. Okay, 7 sevens are 49, 1, and here's my remainder. So my remainder is 3. Okay, that's my remainder. So mod equal, yeah, right, is giving me that remainder of 3. So I'm saying take equal, which was 500 on the first record, divide it by 7, and I get the remainder, which is 3. Okay? And then I did it with round and absolutely no impact, because it was a whole number anyway, so round had no impact. It was, that's fine, you know, put in there to show you a something within a something. And so that had no impact, so I still have that number, okay? So then when I've got that number, I can use that in the substring, because now I have ended up with substring contact, comma, 3, comma, 5. That's what I've ended up with for the first record. I will end up with substring, comma, 3, comma, 5. So what is it going to give me? Okay, it's a wonderful world. Would you believe this little box, and I complain about it constantly? I can't move unless I right-click and tell it to move. And you're going to hear me complain about that fairly constantly. So you go in, and I'm saying take contact, which is John Smith. Go to the third character and take 5. The contact is John Smith, and so you're going to the third character and taking 5. Okay? So if I put in the whole thing and say select substring contact round mod year goal, comma, 7, comma, 0, comma, 5, from donor. Okay. So that's what I'm getting when I do that. So it went to the third character, which was the H, and it took 5, HN space SM, okay, and it took 5, because it went in and said, I'm going to, for the first one, that whole thing there that I can't write was a 3, okay, so if I come down here, and say select substring
contact 3, 7, or 5 rather, from Donna, I get exactly the same thing. Whoops.
Question?
Just 1 second. Eventually I will get that there. Yes.
Amy Costa came out. Oh, it looks the same now.
Oh,
it was cut off or something. Oh, okay, all right, never mind.
The first Amy Costa looked like it was just NY.
Yeah.
Cool.
The first Amy Costa looks like it's M1, no, and there's the last one is the full thing. The first one is just MY.
Yeah, then why would the last one be the whole thing? That's kind of the question.
Okay. Let's look at our numbers. Because Amy Costa the first time said 2,
yeah.
And so it then starts with the M. And the other time it said 1, which means it starts with
perfect.
The A.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Get the other map.
And when I do the calculation and there wasn't any number to divide by, it came up with a null and it just didn't give me the name. Whereas when I plugged in the number, it gives me the name because plugging in the number works just fine. But there was no year goal for that third one down, and so since there's no year goal, it comes up with a null answer. Okay. Does that one make sense? If I gave you another one, could you do it without a problem?
Possibly.
Okay. And then the last two are grouping. And those are simply grouping information. And eliminating the information and that sort of thing. Okay. Any questions on those two? Yeah. Which zero where?
Mod, year goal, and then?
Round, the zero goes with the round.
Oh, wow.
Because this is the whole mod from there to there. The round is round, whatever that returns, comma zero, which means to a whole number.
Right.
Comma one would mean to one decimal place, comma two would mean to two decimal places. Okay, but the zero means to a whole number. So it's saying round whatever you get as for the mod. And as we talked about, mod returns a whole number, so round has no impact on it. If it returned a decimal number, if something returned a decimal number, it would have an impact. But it has no impact since it is a whole number. Okay, any questions on the last two? And I'm going to leave those for you to finish. Yeah.
Do you want these today, later on today, sent to you? Or?
I don't care.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I don't care. Sometime in the next week.
Okay.
I mean, you know, people at home aren't going to be sending it to me today, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
So next Thursday is fine. I would get it done and pass it in just to get it off the plate, but anyway. I gave a quiz in my 120 class, and I was due at midnight Tuesday night. do you know how many people, and they had a week to do it, do you know how many people sent it to me last night? I mean, when you know, Tuesday night, starting at around 8, they were just pouring in until midnight. They had a week to do it. There were 10 questions. Anybody that's been in 120? And everybody waited until the very last minute to do it. Or at least half the class did. So anyway, I would suggest checking it off, and that works nicely.
To be honest with you, I think that's the only class I ever did my homework the weekend before it was due.
Really?
Wow. I think I was the one who I sent it in early.
Yeah, it makes sense. That's the class where they have to explain their time management. Okay, and the time management seems to have a few flaws. Not to say that I was any better when I was in college, but because I wasn't. And the battery went, so we'll plug that in, but that's why I record on two recorders. Okay, we're going to go back and look at, as soon as I can convince this thing, it's all right. We're going to go back and continue looking at the join things. And last time we looked at one that was the between, and we looked at that between, and I didn't have any examples there, I just explained it. The next handout actually gives some examples of that, because there were enough questions, I guess, last year or the year before that I made that handout. So if we go here, examples of a non-equijoin. Okay, so in this one I have a table called grade, and it has an ID, a name, and a grade level on it.
What was the more? SQL, was that what it was? Which one did you just
non-equijoin. On week 3, non-equijoin. Honest is there. Okay, so that.
Found server.
Huh?
Server not found.
Are you connected?
Server not found. No, that doesn't work.
Okay, can you watch up here? Is this close enough? Because you're in the front row, so you can see it here. Then I said, okay, select asterisks from grade, and I put 3 people in. One in the 4th grade, one in the 11th grade, and one in the 7th grade. And then I went down and I said, all right, now do a DESC of a table called schools. And I have on it a school number. The school name, the group name, is it elementary, middle, Durfee, etc. Low grade, it's that school. So South Elementary goes from 1 to 6. East Middle goes from 7 to 8. Durfee High goes from 9 to 12. Okay, so I set up those 2 tables. And then down below, I said, okay, select the grade name, grade level, school group name. And obviously I didn't have to put the field names on the things that don't appear twice, like group name. I just put them on to show what tables I was going at, to clarify what tables I was going into. So So I'm going up to grade name, and I'm going up to the grade level, and I'm going to the school's group name, and I'm saying from those two tables, grade and schools, where the grade level, okay, so the grade level on grade is between the low grade on the schools and the high grade on schools. And again, I didn't need the table names. I just put them in because I thought it made it clearer where I was and what I was doing. So I put in the table names for clarity. And sometimes you want to do that. Sometimes if you're setting something up and other people are going to be using it, this gives some clarity to it. Okay? So it did that, and 11 came out at Durfee High, 7 came out at East Middle, and 4 came out at South Elementary. And it worked just fine. So that's an example of that. Questions? Okay, the next one that I'm looking at is relational database examples, right below the non-equi join. So here I've got a whole bunch of tables that I'm setting up. My first table is my inventory table. Okay? And when we get into keys, which we haven't got into yet, item number would be my key to that. Okay, so that's my inventory table. And my item number would be my key there. And there's a description of the table, and there's some data that I put in the table. Then I have my customers. Okay, so I set up a customer table. And these are my inventory customers. And again, customer ID would be the primary key there when I go to set up primary keys. And this is all the information about a customer. Then I went in and I did an orders table. Okay? Now, with orders, you frequently have a given number that you put in for the order number, the next sequential number coming up. So I've got an order number. And then I've got the customer ID and the order date. Okay, so the order number is unique. So the order number would be my primary key on this. Okay, so now I get into an order line. And if you remember back to when we talked about the normal form on Tuesday, you can't have repeating groups. So on my order table, I can't put in the items because then I have picked how many items, how many different items somebody can order, like the example I told you when they said when I'd had 5, you're done. Okay? So I can't have the line item information on the order table. So I have a fourth table that has the order number and the item number and the number ordered. And in this case, the primary key would be a combination of the order number and the item number. Okay, so this item on that order. And so that would be the primary key. Order number couldn't be the primary key, or I could only order one item. Okay, so order number and item number together would be the primary key. And then I have the number ordered. And then I have sales rep. Okay. under customer, if you go back and look under customer, I have sales rep, and I spelled it S-L-S-R-E-P, okay? My intention was to do the same when I got to the sales. And I should have taken a picture of that, so I'll do that now. My intention when I got down here was to have the SLSREP, just like I'd done on the other, but I messed up. And then I decided, you know, I think I'm going to leave that because it's kind of good to see the how you relate when you have it spelled differently. So this one I put in the A, and I have information about the sales rep. So my main problem is that my users or I have to know that SLSREP is the same as SALSREP. And that's one of the reasons not to do that, is to keep track of that. But that was the sales department that I set up, and sales rep is my primary key on this one. And then I have my department table, and department relates back to the inventory table. If you go back to the inventory table, there's a department, and department relates back to that. Okay, so if I want information about the department and I'm in the inventory table, it has department there, and that relates. So what I have is I have my inventory table, and somebody tell me the name of the key on the inventory. Item NO?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Then I have my order table. What's that one called? Orders, if I'm remembering right. Is that orders?
Yeah.
Okay. And this has odd number as my key. And then I have order line, and this has odd number as my key along with item number. So it's a two-part key, okay? Then I have my customer, and what did I call that?
Don't have anything to say, go by.
INV cust. Okay. So it's INV cust and cust number. Maybe.
Cust ID.
Cust ID. Okay. Was. So I got these right now. And then over here on this table, I have a department number, which is a field on the table. And on this table, I have a sales rep, which is just a field on that table, right? Then I have a department table, which has the department number. And I have the sales rep table, where I call the key sales rep. Okay. So if I look at these and how they interrelate, the order number goes over to there. And what else do I have on the order table that relates, that I forgot to put up there?
Item.
Customer ID. Right? If you look at it, it's going to have the customer ID. Okay, so that relates to that. Sales rep relates down here. Department number relates over here. item number relates back to there, and that's how the tables are related. Okay? So my inventory table will have the item number for when they make an order. So if they make an order and I'm making out the invoice on the order, I'm going to put the order number, the customer ID, and whatever else I have on there. And I think of this when you look at an invoice, is this is the header information that you see up at the top, and this is the line items where they list everything that you ordered. Well, when they list everything that you ordered, one of the things they may want to list is the item name. So they can go over here and grab the item name from the item table, okay? On the order, they want to list who the order is and get the customer information. So from the orders, they go to the inventory customer and they get that information there, okay? If they want the sales rep, they can come down and find out about the sales rep. If they want to find out about the department for some reason, they can come down here and find out about the department. So those are all interrelated. So we have a bunch of foreign keys there. The thing about a foreign key is it has to relate into a key, into a primary key. Okay? So again, we haven't covered how to do that yet. But these would be the primary keys. Okay, so those are my primary keys on that table. And so sales rep can relate into the primary key on the big sales rep table. Department number relates into the department number. Item number relates into the primary key. So the item number on the order line relates into the primary key. The customer ID on the orders relates into the inventory customer. So they're all relating into a table that has what they need as the primary key. Okay? And if you don't have it set up that all of these can relate into such that you can get the information you need, then you've got a design flaw. Yeah.
In orders, is customer ID a part of the primary key?
Yes, it is.
Okay, as well as in...
Wait a minute, not orders, I'm sorry. No, it's not. I was looking at order line and answering
order
the wrong
line
question.
Order
line is the two. Okay. No, customer ID is not. Now, people could have a different way of doing this. I was assuming that order number was unique, because frequently that's the way people will set it up in a company, so that order number is unique. And by the time they get back to having used them all, presumably all the orders have been filled, hopefully. So hopefully the number is big enough so that when they get back, they will have filled all the orders. Okay. So questions on that? Yeah.
Yeah, so customer ID can't be unique in orders.
Say that again?
Customer ID can't be unique in orders.
Well, no. It's unique over here in the customer table, but one customer can place multiple orders. So you don't want it unique in the orders table because a customer can place multiple orders. But it is unique over in the inventory customer, which is where you go to get name and address information. Okay? Yeah.
A kind of more general question. Like, when a company does, like, fill in their database, I get the things like customer information gets filled in by either the customer, whoever's taking the order, the sales rep would be, like, HR. But when they receive, like, bulk inventory of, like, new things, do they have to go in and punch in each little thing?
If they don't have something that can scan it in, or, you know, lots of times they'll get something that will scan it in.
Right.
So that they don't have to put the information in. But yes, they've got to somehow, you know, put it in.
Right.
Data has to be entered somehow, and if you can't get it electronically by scanning, then you're going to have to have data entry people. And there aren't as many data entry people floating around now as there used to be. But I still, you know, when I pay my bill by check, somebody's got to be doing something with that because they can't, you know, read my writing that well unless they've got a very good scan that they can read my writing.
The system we use at work is, it's called ManMan, but it's actually all SQL based.
Okay.
Everything in it, so it's like, when we do scan out all our inventory in, but like when we go break it down, we break it down to like the actual information, like how you just have to go to like basic different tables.
Right, right. And that can be automated so that the tables are updated. You know, once you've got the information in, there can be a program that automatically updates all of the tables.
Maybe someday, not right now.
Not right now, okay.
Well, to put one thing in the stock right now at work, like this receiving department will receive it. It'll put it, it will hold. But then it still takes one other guy to go take that receiver and actually put it in stock.
Okay.
So it's like, got different holders. I guess they do that because they inspect almost everything that comes in. So basically, the first person receives it, it puts it into our system that is there in the building, but okay. It's not in stock yet. It's just in that QC hold area so everything can be inspected. Once we okay. get it cleared through inspection, there's another person that's going to go in, and then that's the actual person. When they do it, we'll actually put it into
and
the database.
And what do they actually do?
We scan them.
Okay.
So there's no typing out every piece of information.
Right.
But anytime we got to transfer stuff, like if you mess up and you put it in the wrong location when you scan it, because you still have to type in like a location and stuff like that. So if you mess up, then you got to do a transfer. Then you're transferring like not all the stuff, but basically taking it from this area and putting it into this area because I messed up and put it.
And that's manual.
Yeah, yeah, it's all done manual. All
right.
There's like a little punch up something, you know, a field will come up, and you just got to fit in all the spaces.
All right. Yep. And that's one of the biggest, you know, deals is trying to automate so that we don't, you know, the less you have human entering data, the more accurate the data is going to be.
Yes.
Because humans get bored. Machines don't. And humans make reverse two numbers and that sort of thing a lot. Okay, so that is how those tables are set up. So now if we go back, I've got examples where I am doing queries. Okay, so I said here, select the item number, item name, inventory department, department name, manager from inventory and department, where the departments are the same. So I want to put out information about the department that each of my inventory items are in. So the item number and item name came from the inventory table, as did the department. The department name and the manager came from the department table. Okay, so now I have all of that information that I can put in. And then I put in an order information down below where I'm taking information from the customer and the order. So again, I can relate any of these tables by just doing where the customer ID in the orders is equal to the customer ID in the customer. And I'm getting the customer information for the customer who placed that order. Okay, so what I'm looking for is the customer who placed that order. And then if I want to see the entire order, I can put together orders and order line based on order number. And when I put those two together, then I get the information about the order. So order numbers one had those three items on it. Order number two has two items. Order number three has two items. And that shows me the order and the items that were ordered. And then if I come down on the next one And I want to show the order, the and the inventory item. So I'm now showing information about the order. I go to the order line and find out what was ordered, and then I go over to the inventory tank and get its name. Okay, so I am getting order number from the orders table. I'm getting item number and number ordered from the order line table, and I'm getting the name of the item from the inventory table. Okay, and the links show those relationships. The order number is the link between orders and order line, and item number is the link between order line and invent. Okay. Now, as I mentioned before, you can, if you want to, put in essentially aliases, but essentially shorthand for these things. So orders is an H, order line is an L, and inventory is an I, and then I can use those and cut things down a little bit. And then on this one, I went in and used four tables. So I've now got the orders table, the inventory customer, the inventory, and the order line. Okay, so I'm going and getting information from all of those tables. I am relating them on order number, on customer ID, and on item number. So I have to tell it what the links are between these tables. I had all the tables set up. Now I got to tell it what the links are so that it can go and find the right records and link into the tables. So once I know the item number, I can link into the inventory table and get the item name. Once I know the customer ID, I can link into the customer table and get the customer name. Okay? So I'm kind of starting out with the orders, getting the order items, and for each one I'm telling who the customer is and what the item is. Okay, so I'm using four different tables. And then on the last one, I did the same thing, but I threw in an order, order by. If you haven't noticed already, at times you wonder where did Oracle come up with that list, the order that it put the list in. You expect it to be one thing and you look at it and the data is all correct, but the order is messed up. And, or you think it's messed up, Oracle obviously thinks it's wonderful. Whatever parameters they're using cause that to happen, and the only control you have over it is putting the order by clause in. If you put the order by clause in, then you get it in the order you want. Okay? If you don't put the order by clause in, you get it in whatever order Oracle decides to give it to you in. And you know, that may be fine, but it may not be, so the order by clause is a good thing to do it. And remember, if there's multiple things on the order by, then the first is the primary. Remember back to assignment one. The first is the primary thing, so it orders by the first field first. So if it orders by state, now it's got all the states grouped. And now if I tell it to order by city, it goes into the state and orders by the city. If there was a city of the same name in Massachusetts and Rhode Island, they're not going to be together because the Massachusetts one is going to stay with Massachusetts and the Rhode Island one is going to stay with Rhode Island because it's not going to order on city without paying attention to the fact that it's already in order by state. So, that's what I wanted to get through today. We will look at more examples of this next Tuesday, and then we will start some switch of probably the more challenging part of this one. So. Huh?
It's an O grade.